God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Thank you, friends, for being with us. This is Pastor Larry. Please keep sending your email addresses with your name as we requested. Send it to info@swrc.com. We want to be able to quickly reach you if we need about a special offer, a conference, changes in schedule, and so on. Just send it to info@swrc.com. As we move into the new year of 2021, we all need to grow in maturity. Sanctification is a process. The longer I live, the more I become convinced that our major battle in life is not with age, but with maturity. All of us are involuntary victims of age. There's no choice involved in growing older. Our real challenge is the choice of whether or not to grow up. It was Jesus who asked, "Who of you, by worrying, can add 1 inch to your height or subtract 1 day from your age?" In other words, don't worry about how old you are getting. Age is a matter of fact. Maturity is a matter of choice. Yes, you and I are growing older. That's automatic. But growing older does not necessarily mean we are growing up. It is very important that we grow up. How is maturity expressed? Well, allow me to run down a short list that might be helpful. When our concern for others outweighs concern for ourselves, that's maturity. When we have a willingness to change, once we are convinced that correction is in order. I like this definition of maturity. Maturity is the ability to do a job whether you are supervised or not. Finish a job once it's started. Carry money without spending it all. And last but not least, the ability to bear an injustice without wanting to get even. Wow, what a special delight today. I've got Bill Federer in the studio with me. Bill has been in many of our conferences, and I remember him more than 20 years ago when I was on WHCB radio in Bristol, Tennessee, and Virginia. And I especially remember his tremendously insightful, important book, America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations. And of course, he's written many, many other books, which are really on the cutting edge, dealing with what's happening, and also how our country has a wonderful, godly history. We're getting so far away from that, and when we start forgetting the vision of the founders, we're seeing what's happening in our country. Socialism, communism, evil things, transgenderism. God, man, Lord, have mercy upon us. We need to get back to our roots. Well, today we're going to be speaking with Bill Federer on voter fraud. We're going to speak about the control of the media and other things that are going on. Bill, thank you so much for being with us.
Larry, great to be with you.
You know, you did have COVID-19, was it March? Or I remember I did a program with you right after that.
Right, yes.
Yeah, so I'm glad you're looking quite normal.
I'm still ticking.
Very good. You're still giving the devil a hard time, so that's good. Bill, as we think about voter fraud, and I know you work with Phyllis Schlafly many years ago. This kind of game is not new, but I want to ask you a very basic question. And the reason I'm asking it is because if you look at CBS and NBC, they say there's no voter fraud. But if you look at some other good websites, there's a lot of voter fraud. So let me ask you the question. Is there voter fraud emanating out of the November 3rd, 2020 election?
Yes, definitely, overwhelmingly. 1948 is an interesting election that was made a classic history. It's 1948. Lyndon Baines Johnson is running for Senate primary in Texas. He's a Democrat. He's running against the Democrat Governor Coke Stevenson. At the end of the day, election day, LBJ loses and Coke Stevenson wins. But they claim to find some uncounted ballots in Alice, Texas, Jim Wells County, in ballot box number 13. It happens to be LBJ's hometown area. And the godfather politically there is George Parr. And lo and behold, at the end of that week, confusion is reigning. LBJ squeaks out a victory. And the FBI investigates, and they found that during that week, there were 202 extra names that voted. and those names were from the local cemetery, and they signed in alphabetical order in the same handwriting in the same blue ink. And the Associated Press, the New York Times did articles on this. Kellis DeBrell, the FBI investigator, says that, yes, that the last 202 names, where all the previous names were written with different handwritings and different ink, the last 200 names. And then 1977, this is about 40 years, 30-some-odd years later, the New York Times has an article how LBJ stole the election, and there's a person named Louis Salas, and he says that he was the election judge for that county. And he said, I was just going along with my party. He gives the interview because he wants to clear his mind. LBJ's dead by this time, and George Parr, the godfather, is dead because I want to clear his conscience. He goes, I was just going along with my party, and George Parr said that he wanted 200 extra votes put into ballot box 13. And he goes, when George Parr says we want to give our candidate 80% of the vote, the other one 20%, he goes, everybody had to do what he said. And so that was provided an 87-vote margin for Lyndon Johnson to squeak into victory. It was so close that he got nicknamed the tongue-in-cheek landslide Lyndon. Well, it wasn't a landslide, and it was fraud. And so the Coke Stevenson, the candidate that was defeated, he's a Democrat. He appeals, and so the Democrat Central Committee in Texas is now tied 28-28 on whether or not to certify the election results. And the lawsuit goes before a Supreme Court justice, Hugo Black. And so LBJ gets a friend named Abe Fortas, a Washington attorney, to intercede and convince Hugo Black, the Supreme Court justice, to let the decision of the state Democrat Party stand. And they had, you know, gotten one guy to come back and vote. And so LBJ wins by one vote. When LBJ later becomes president, he promotes Abe Fortas to become a Supreme Court justice. And he serves until he receives a bribe from some Wall Street financiers. And he is forced to resign from being a Supreme Court justice. But even in 2006, then Attorney General Greg Abbott in Texas, he says, voter fraud is no newcomer to the Lone Star State. Because 6 decades ago, in the infamous ballot box 13, the votes discovered helped LBJ squeak to a victory. So this is common knowledge that on election night, they claim to find some uncounted ballots, and it's just fraud. Now, that was more than 70 years ago. You think how they've perfected this. I ran for Congress against Dick Gephardt. He was the Nancy Pelosi before Nancy Pelosi. And we experienced all kinds of things. My name was left off the ballot in 5 wards in the city of St. Louis. And they said, oh, that was a fluke. We'll fix it next time. It's like, next time, you know? And then the computers in Jefferson County, Missouri, Hillsborough, we were ahead. And suddenly the electricity goes off in the entire building. When it reboots up, we go from being ahead to behind. And we said, well, what was going on that caused the electricity to go? Oh, somebody was doing construction on another floor at 10 o'clock at night on election night. I had friends that I hadn't talked to in 15 years calling me out of the blue saying, hey, in Georgia, they claim that a water main broke. Yes. And it stopped the election and everything.
Wasn't it a urinal and not a water main?
Somebody stuffed a urinal and they fixed it within an hour. They just needed to have some excuse to do the voter fraud. And the software. We remember when the election was going on, my brother's an attorney, and he's saying they give you a tour of the machines prior to the election and, you know, answer questions. And he noticed Ethernet cables coming out of the back of the computers and going into the internet. He goes, what are those for? Oh, well, that's so that we can, you know, report the election results really fast. And of course, if there's any problems, we can fix it. And he goes, what do you mean fix it? He goes, yeah, we can access the computer. He said, during the election? Yeah. And then when you realize that there's only half a dozen companies that make computer voting machines, and they all are either foreign owned or have foreign investors, you know, George Soros type of groups, you can have modems in these computers that are made by foreign companies that you can know the proper codes and you can access the computers. The computer software themselves, there's instances where they've had high school students practice hacking into these computers. It's so easy. You can do voter fraud with keeping dead names on the rolls. Now, if you look at the COVID response, it's a domino effect. The first thing was to let criminals out of jail. And you think, you know, who does this? You let criminals, why don't you just transfer them to another prison? But you're, You let him out of jail and then crime goes up. It's like, okay, didn't see that coming. You let criminals out and crime goes up. And then some people feel unsafe and they move out of the big cities. Well, if they move out, who's left in the big cities? Well, people that are dependent on government handouts. So the people that move out, maybe they're pro-family people because they don't want their kids being raised around violence. So pro-family people are usually belonging to one political party, and the people that are on entitlements tend to belong to another. And then you shut down businesses, COVID response, and smash windows of businesses. So now pro-business people move out of the city. They usually belong to the same political party as the pro-family people. Then you shut down churches where social conservatives gather. And so pro-family type, you know, social conservatives are now. And then you shut down schools and let kids indoctrinated with hate America out to riot. Net result, the COVID response caused more people of one political party to move out of the big cities, leaving people of the other political party with monopoly control over city politics. And in presidential election years, whoever wins the big city wins the state. Whoever wins the state gets all the electoral votes for the state, and the president is elected by electoral votes. There's a clear advantage to one political party for having crime going up in the cities and shutting down businesses and shutting down churches. Anyway, there's more on that subject, but I did put together a book. It's called Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. And in that book, I have these different stories. And one of the aspects that's really interesting is what happened after World War II and some of the tactics that were developed that we're seeing surfacing again right now.
Well, I've often wondered, this last election, you know, it used to be when there was election day was when everybody voted. It's just like December 25th is Christmas Day. If it snows, it's still December 25th. Now, with all the exceptions and late voting, early voting, mail-in voting, I've often wondered, didn't President Trump know that there'd be all kind of scallywags trying to wipe him out and cause him to lose? Was he unaware of this? How did this confusion happen?
No, I was at a meeting with him 6 months before the election, and he talked about how the whole COVID was it's a real disease developed, you know, in that bioterrorism lab over in Wuhan that they leaked. It just happened to be on election year. But the COVID response allowed an excuse for different Democrat-controlled legislatures to push through mail-in voting. It was done by executive order. It was done by courts. It was not done through the legislative constitutional process.
Right, so it's illegal, unconstitutional for the state.
Right, so a lawsuit was brought in Pennsylvania and these other states. It goes to the Supreme Court, and Amy Comey Barrett, her first day on the job, falls. She punted. The one case was, in Pennsylvania, no votes after 8 p.m. should be allowed. And she did not weigh in on the decision, and so it went back to the states tied 4-4 on the Supreme Court. She could have been the 5-4 that says no votes after 8 p.m., but she punted. She was asleep on the first day on the job. And so all of this problem right now is because Amy Comey Barrett didn't weigh in on this issue and say, I'm going to say 5-4, no votes after 8 p.m., because it didn't pass wasn't passed through the Pennsylvania legislature and done properly. And so now we're having to deal with all this. And so Trump was winning at 8 p.m. But then after that, all these mail-in ballots came in, and there's stories of truckers trucking thousands of them in, and they always have to have some emergency that they can blame the insecurity on. That in my case, the first time I ran, they left like I mentioned, my name off the ballot. And they said, oh, this is an emergency. Their response was, let's leave the polls open till midnight and tell everybody to come back and vote again. And then we'll fix it next time. And then the next time I ran, they left people's names off the registered voter list. We were down there in St. Louis at the federal courthouse, and they brought a lawsuit saying, well, we need to keep the polls open till midnight, which they did. The next day, they find out the person that brought the lawsuit was dead. He had died 2 years earlier. But they needed some excuse, and they had people lining up all around the street, and they all claimed to have gotten paid. It was called the walking money. So they pay people to take a name of somebody that had died and go into the polling place under that name and cast a vote. Anyway, there's a lot more there. The book Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present has these stories in them. And it's just always an honor to be on with you, Larry.
Yes. Well, Bill, always a great blessing, and I'm glad you've completely recovered from COVID-19. Well, friends, We're going to have Bill Federer back with us for our next program, and we're going to get into some more really important stuff. Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how to get our special offer.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. By the way, Bill Federer did all these programs without notes. What an amazing memory he has. Our special offer today is a great one. First of all, we have the new book by Bill Federer titled Socialism, The Real History. You can have a copy of this soon-to-be bestseller for a gift of $25 if you live in the United States and $45 if you live in Canada. We also have the book by Brian Osborne titled Quick Answers to Social Issues. You can have a copy of this extraordinary book for a gift of $15 in the United States and $35 for our Canadian friends. And we have the DVD titled Quick Answers to Tough Questions for a gift of $10 in the United States and $20 in Canada. This DVD covers such topics as creation, evolution, and the Bible. A great study guide. Our special offer today is to get all three items I just mentioned for a gift of $35 if you live in the United States and $55 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order anytime, day or night, on our website at swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Jesus Christ did not wait for you to do something for him before he died for you and did the most wonderful thing for you. Jesus put salvation within easy reach for every human being who would seek him with their whole heart. Dealing with this knowledge frees you to love people even if they never return the kindness. Christianity provides us with the example as well as the power to live and love unconditionally.
Unconditional love is described by the New Testament Greek word agape. It's the highest and most noble form of love. You will never agape love your wife, your husband, your parents, and kids until you don't need them. Agape love is its greatest motivation. Jesus is its perfect example. The Bible says that while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. When you need people, then you will either do things to get things in return, or you will be annoyed when you do more for them than they do for you.
Christianity is not about keeping score, nor is it about balancing a ledger. My score was settled long ago. There is no longer any ledger to balance. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. The further we get away from Scripture, Christian truth, and the Bible, the more barbaric our society will be. As our founder said many times, liberty in the American system will only work when there are a moral people. And immoral people cannot be free. Their sinful desires forge their own chains. The more America becomes unmoored from the Bible, the greater the need for America to become a police state. Jackbooted police will become our saviors. That's why James 4:4 says that friendship with the world is hostility towards God. He who wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God.
Some Christian books on marriage tell you that you can have peace by, quote, scratching your spouse's back, and he or she will scratch your back. But your sinful back scratcher will often fail you and not scratch you when and how you need it, and you will continue to go to war. How do we stop having fights and have peace? By remembering that peace and submission to Christ as Lord go hand in hand.
You are about to enter the Twilight Zone, where the now famous words by Rod Serling in the TV series of Days Gone By. Do 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 do. According to the Jerusalem Post, December 10th, we may be headed there again. Has the state of Israel made contact with aliens? According to retired Israeli officer and current professor Chaim Eshed, the answer is yes, but this has been kept secret because humanity isn't ready. Speaking in an interview, Eshed, who served as the head of the Israeli space program for nearly 30 years and is a three-time recipient of the Israeli Security Award, explained that Israel and the United States have both been dealing with aliens for years. Eshed was clarifying the existence of a galactic federation. The 87-year-old former head of Defense Ministry's Space Division gave further descriptions about exactly what sort of agreements have been made between the aliens and the U.S., which ostensibly have been made because they wish to research and understand the fabric of the universe. This cooperation includes a secret underground base on Mars where there are American and alien representatives. If true, this would coincide with U.S. President Trump's creation of the Space Force as the fifth branch of the United States Armed Forces, though it is unclear how long this sort of relationship, if any, has been going on between the U.S. and its reported extraterrestrial allies. But Eshed insists that Trump is aware of them and that he was on the verge of disclosing their existence. However, the Galactic Federation reportedly stopped him from doing so, saying they wished to prevent mass hysteria since they felt humanity needed to evolve and reach a state where we will understand what space and spaceships are. As for why he's chosen to reveal this information now, Eshed explained that the timing was simply due to how much the academic landscape has changed and how respected he is in academia. If I had come up with what I'm saying today 5 years ago, I would have been hospitalized, he explained. All right, if this report has you doubting the reality of aliens already among us on Earth, I need only point you to our U.S. Congress and some of its most vocal members. Sorry, I just couldn't let that pass. It is possible that the Lord was referring to things like we just read when in Luke 21:26-28, he said there would be a future day when men's hearts would be failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. How fearfully would man accept the space invaders if we hadn't been so well prepared by science fiction, so-called. When the true church is raptured, maybe space aliens won't sound so far-fetched after all.
Helen Keller was severely impaired by an undiagnosed illness that caused her to go blind and deaf at the age of 19 months. Despite her debilitating disabilities and a lack of resources available at the time, Keller would go on to become a champion for the deaf and blind by raising millions of dollars for those who are disabled. Despite all of her achievements and accolades against all odds, Keller was declared to be, quote, just another privileged white person, close quotes, in a Time article.
I quote the following shocking statement, quote, to some black disability rights activists, like Anita Cameron, Helen Keller is not radical at all, just another, despite disabilities, privileged white person. And yet another example of history telling the story of privileged white Americans, close quotes. Many commentators found the defaming of Helen Keller to be outlandish and bizarre.
Mary Vogt, the executive director of the Senate Conservatives Fund, said, you've got to be kidding me. The woke mob is now going after Helen Keller for being white. Never mind the advancement she worked to achieve for those with disabilities.
Have you ever blessed somebody and they just weren't, you know, thankful? Maybe that's the way God feels. So we at Southwest Radio Church want you to know that God is blessing us. So here, with our weekly praise report, is Mimi Davis.
This week has been a great week. Remember how we asked you to give for a new printing press? The cost of this printing press system, new, would have been well over $600,000, but God gave it to us for about $150,000. We at Southwest Radio Church praise God you responded, and I'm here to report that your gift towards this printing system has totally revolutionized our printing. We are now able to print our Prophetic Observer in hours instead of days. We are now able to print whole books in a matter of minutes. We have had so many requests for books like Dr. Hutchings' book on Revelation. Before this printer, we would have had to order thousands of copies to make it cost-effective. With our new on-demand printer, we now can print individual books as people request them. At one time, this seemed impossible for us at Southwest Radio Church. But because of your faithful giving, it is now possible. If you are not a regular supporter of Southwest Radio Church, would you pray about being a monthly supporter? As always, your gifts are tax deductible. You can make your monthly gifts or one-time gifts online at swrc.com, or you can call our toll-free number at 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144, and our staff would love to hear from you today. I'm Mimi Davis, and this has been your weekly praise report.
Our Constitution says that all men are created equal, but are some men more equal than others? Is socialism a wonderful utopia? Find out when you order our special offer today by calling 1-800-652-1144. You can also order it by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you know you can order it on our website at swrc.com. When we offer an item for $30, we do not get to keep $30. We have to purchase these items we offer, which cost us about half of that. Then we have to pay the radio stations to play our program. We know you can get these items we offer cheaper at someplace else. But the little money we do get to keep goes for purchasing new items, paying radio stations, wages, utility bills, computers, and all the rest that keeps this ministry on the air. So when you look for a cheaper price online, remember the great program you just heard and say to yourself, I'll support Southwest Radio Church because I enjoy their messages on Bible prophecy and Bible teaching. Thank you for joining us today. Join us tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Bill Federer continue this look at socialism on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.